Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. I want to give God thanks for this opportunity to meet with you on this Lord's Day. This is the first day of the week, and it is appropriate that we begin our week with the study of God's Word so that we can have our minds and hearts set on what God says or has to say to us. We're going to encounter many different situations this week. And so this study is to prepare you so that you will be able to stand, as Paul writes in Ephesians 6, in this evil day. So with that, let's have a little prayer and we'll begin our study for this morning. We do thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you that we have salvation through the Son of God. We thank you, Father, that if we believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be rescued from eternal death. And we thank you, Lord, that we have salvation through the blood of the Son of God. We have been justified through Jesus, and so we have a right standing before you because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. And we do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, our particular study is going to focus on Psalm 2. And I want to say before we begin our study proper that please get your family prepared for coming shortages. Please buy food as much as you can, water. Have different fuel sources. And I pray that you are able to have a generator of some sort so that you can take care of your family. It's going to be rather difficult, and so I want us to be in prayer for one another throughout the world. I'm speaking to the saints of this community and their extended family and friends as well. So we need to pray. We need to be vigilant, and we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. James chapter 1, so we're to be doers. So be efficient, be proactive, and prepare your family. So now you realize that you and I know that the world is crashing. The stock market is crashing or has crashed. The food chain, as it were, has broken down. And I understand that several processing plants throughout the country have been attacked and set on fire. And as I understand it, some of these processing facilities were destroyed by individuals called the White Hats because of different chemicals that were being added on top of what is already added to food. The housing market is crashing. It is in not a free fall yet, but it is crashing. And fuel prices are rising, and the last report I read talked about oil at $120 a barrel, and there seems to be no end in sight. So as much as you can, prepare your family, and if you can, develop a community of individuals with different skills, so there will be a support system in place for you. But once again, bathe every decision in prayer. And as Paul said, to investigate everything and really take nothing for granted. So please listen to the word of God. Be directed by the word of God. You and I have the resurrection power of Christ at our disposal. And so we need to avail ourselves of this ministry that God has provided for us. So the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? Now, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the wrath of God is spoken of, first of all, as divine anger, God's abiding anger towards sin and those who are devoted to the practice of sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. We read it in the Psalms. And so we have God's righteous indignation and wrath towards sin. And sin is the word sin and the reality of sin has been lost in the 21st century. And this postmodern culture has no understanding of sin and the implications of sin. In fact, an understanding of what it means to have a real spiritual life with God has all but been lost on this very secularized generation. The focus is on self. And so with that, we have to understand that there is this idolatry of the self. And what these people don't realize is that in the Old Testament history, we read about what happens to those who are devoted to self. In the antediluvian world was destroyed by God through the great flood. And Peter uses the graphic verb in the New Testament, the dashing down. Peter speaks about the dashing down of the old world by God. Through hydrology, through fluid dynamics, God destroyed the old world and its practices. And then, so we have decreation, and then we have recreation, and God restored the world. So the first 11 chapters of Genesis are what we call primeval history. And the first 11 chapters of Genesis have been under a concerted attack, because if those chapters can be discredited, then the scripture falls apart. And they have, and the so-called liberal scholars, as it were, have not been successful in destroying primeval history. And they have not successfully destroyed the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. So we know of the unity that was built into those documents. And the Dead Sea Scrolls corroborate the unity of this great theological literature. So, and then we have in the book of Genesis God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. There was the idolatry of the self again. In the book of Exodus, we see that Pharaoh Ramesses, who believed himself a god, challenged Yahweh Elohim, who said, "Let my people go. Let my people go." This was a command by God. God commanded to let my people go. And the Pharaoh Ramesses, who is a type of the devil, did not listen to Yahweh. And so under Moses, God systematically took down Egypt or Mitzrayim. God systematically destroyed Egypt. And so there's a word in Hebrew that is used for what God did to Egypt, and it is a word that means a mockery. God mocked the arrogance of the human god Ramesses, Pharaoh Ramesses. God mocked their claims. There is only one God. There is only one Lord. There is only one faith. There is only one baptism. And he is Lord of all. But in the pathology of sin, in there are those who come to power in human history whom Yahweh allows to come to power, who set themselves up as God. And please read about Antiochus Epiphanes and his destructive reign during the intertestamental period. When we come to the New Testament, then we have Herod, who sought to destroy Jesus, and God directed the wise men from the east to go a different way and not to report back to Herod to the location of the king. And so Herod went in and he destroyed young children up to a certain age, hoping in his frenzied madness to destroy the king. And of course, God had sent his son into Egypt. And then we read the prophecy, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And so God left his son in Egypt until King Herod died. And yet, there are people who keep coming to power believing that they are stronger than God. God lets them go on for a while, and then God moves in judgment. And what is really fascinating is that in Jewish history, the connection between the faithfulness of God, the continuity that he had with his people, and what they saw and experienced of God never taught them. They never learned of the faithfulness and the veracity of God out of all that he had done for them. And so they would continually lapse into faithlessness. In the book of Judges, God hands his people over to ruthless rulers who rule over them for a time. Then they know to go to God. They cry out to God. And in his mercy, because he had made a covenant with them, he would deliver them. They were his chosen people. They were his people. So eventually In 722, God destroyed the northern kingdom. 586, God destroys the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. They are sent, Judah is sent into exile, into Babylon. And for 70 years. But then God would bring his people back. God is always faithful. But yet, there is this group of individuals, and we're gonna say about the Antichrist. This is what they believe in their hearts about themselves. So I'm going to be reading from Psalm. I'm going to read Psalm 2, beginning at verse 1. Quote: "Why do the nations conspire or rage?" In the Old King James Version. "And the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth take stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one." Of course, that's Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. "And they say, let us break their chains." Notice how they speak about God. "Let us break their chains," they say, "and throw off their fetters." Understand the darkened mentality. And what the darkened mentality's view of God, the rulership of God by these individuals is seen as chains and fetters. Because they are devoted to self. 4, the enthroned one in heaven laughs. And the Old King James, it reads, "He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter or a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him," unquote. So that is Psalm 2. And so Psalm 2 is a very powerful picture for us as the believing community. So this psalm previews Christ's present rejection of verses 1, 2, and 3. And also, see for reference, see Acts 4:25-28. And so this rejection of Christ continues throughout this age and culminates in the apostasy of the Great Tribulation. So, we have Messiah's present session in Psalm 110, verse 1. And the disdain of his enemies is foretold in verses 4 through 6. Listen, I heard the other day that believers now are called Christo-fascists. Christo-fascists. And so I just want you to get an idea of the splintered consciousness of what is going on today. So if there is any believer that has thought or believed to take shelter in the West and Western culture, please understand that Western culture has been decimated, has been obliterated. And you and I need to focus on faithfulness to the Lord as our confidence, as the one who brings stability to our lives in these evil days. So then we have the future incarnate and risen Lord, and Jesus vindicates his sonship at his second advent, and then he assumes the kingdom. Please understand that the battle of Armageddon is not really a battle. It has been called the battle of Armageddon. There will be no battle. And the forces that are marshaled against Jesus in the Valley of Megiddo are going to be roundly defeated. Listen, these people have developed heart. They have been engaged in geoengineering. They have incredibly complex weapons platforms in the skies. They have directed laser weapons. They have drones. They have all kinds of sophisticated weapons. They have sound weapons. They have AI weapons. They have 5G. They have 6G that they don't talk about. And so they have weapon systems that are able to take over and control human thinking. They have weapon systems that can detect facial expressions, attitudes, and thoughts. They have machines, what we call through machine learning, they understand human thinking. These people can detect whether or not you are an atheist or if I am an atheist. They can detect if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Their weapon systems are incredibly sophisticated. Hence, once again, Ephesians chapter 6, put on armor of God that you may stand in the evil day. So for those, you know, this so-called vaccine, this was a bioweapons platform that was engineered to be injected into people, and then through 5G and other silent weapon systems that we will never understand or see, these people will be able to activate certain events to take place within the person's body and mind. When you put all of your information on Facebook, these people gather that information, and they have certain algorithms that they use to specifically target you and me. You become part of a hive mind. You may not be consciously aware of it, but they make you a part of a hive mind. For believers, they create spiritual passivity. And while there may be a denial of the reality of what has been done or going what has happened, yet these people know how to control the human brain, the human being. It was the Obama signed executive order so that propaganda can be used against the American people. Heretofore, that had been done to a limited extent. But through this executive order, all-out war was waged against the American people, against their way of life, against their faith. So we live in incredible times. And so let me go on. So the psalmist exhorts kings and warns rebels in view of the establishment of his kingdom. When Jesus assumes control over the earth, okay, after Armageddon, he will set up his kingdom rule. You and I, as believers, will co-reign with him. And notice, he will rule them with a rod of iron. He is our good shepherd, but he will rule this world. Now, why will he do that? Listen, some extraordinary things are going to take place in this world. And so we will have the rise of the Antichrist. Now, the scripture has a great deal to say concerning this individual. And he will appear at the end time as the head of Gentile world powers and their 10 kingdom federation. He is spoken of by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 28, 1 through 10, and in Daniel 7, 7 through 8, 20 through 26, Daniel 8, 23 to 25, Daniel 9, 26 and 27, Daniel 11, 36 to 45. So there are extensive scriptural references concerning this this individual. He is also spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10, Revelation 13, 1 through 10, Revelation 17, 8 through 14. And so, when we bring these passages together, we have certain facts about his activities. That is the Antichrist. He will appear on the scene in the latter times of Israel's history. And this is the reference for this is Daniel 8:23. He will not appear until the day of the Lord has begun. The book of Joel speaks of the day of the Lord, and there are other references in the Old Testament that speak about the day of the Lord. And so, now, once again, his coming on the scene or his manifestation is being hindered by the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit, 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 7. Remember, the Fed has said, has raised interest rates so that in order, they say, to curtail inflation. But inflation is the has to do with the printing press. And the more they print these Federal Reserve notes, the less value they have. And so it is the limitless printing that is destroying the economy. Governments, only governments create inflation. Only governments create inflation. So the paper has, that is the Federal Reserve note paper, has little value left. And so therefore, and believe me, it is an abstraction, and therefore real things like food, gas, or fuel, real things, commodities. You know, their prices are going to go up because those who are in certain businesses have to, what, move food. And so diesel is going up. They have to transport food. They have insurance, et cetera. So all these things are being disrupted. And so the Fed is not attempting to help us, but what they're trying to do is they're attempting a controlled demolition of the economy. Why do they want to destroy the economy? They want to destroy the economy because they want to get rid of paper notes, Federal Reserve notes. They want to go to a Fed currency, a digital currency. They want you and I to have a certain amount of digital currency available to us. And so if we don't use it all within a certain period of time, it just disappears. They want absolute control of our lives. They want to destroy autonomy. They want a global hive mind to be created. You need to read about the Club of Rome, and you need to read about the CDC. You need to read about these different organizations and what they have planned to do to the world, which involves us. So let me go on about this this individual. So he is being hindered. That is, his manifestation is being hindered. One event that's going to take place is the event that's going to take place for us as believing ones is the snatching out of the church. And so then his full manifestation will be here. Now, before there will be a departure from the faith. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. We know that he is a Gentile. Now, in Psalm 2, we read, why do the nations rage or the people imagine a vain thing? So the word there is goy, goyim, which refers to the Gentiles. Why do the people rage? And the word in Hebrew means a violent tumult, or they're angry. They're angry. Now, notice the character of the nations. I've noticed in counseling that people who are devoted to self, through the idolatry of the self and their preoccupation with self, they're the angriest people, angriest people. And their anger is a demand. They demand certain things of others. You know, and it's an amazing phenomenon to watch. So this individual, he comes up from the Roman Empire, and he is a part of the people who destroyed Jerusalem. And that's Daniel 9:26. So he is the head of the last form of Gentile world dominion. Psalm 2, Jesus comes to destroy Gentile world dominion. Remember, in the book of Luke, Jesus talks about the times of the Gentiles. Jesus is the one who is going to destroy the times of the Gentiles, and he is going to bring in what some call the millennial kingdom. He is going to bring in his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So he is a head of the last form of Gentile world dominion. He is like a leopard. He is like a bear. and a lion. Revelation 13:1. And such, so he is a political leader. And the seven heads and 10 horns of Revelation 13:1 and Revelation 17:12 are federated under his authority. His influence is worldwide. He rules over all nations, Revelation 13:8. And so this influence comes through the alliance which he will make with other nations. So he eliminated three rulers in his rise to power. And one of the kingdoms over which he has authority will be revived. For one of the heads representing a kingdom or a king has been healed, Revelation 13:3. And so he his rise comes through his peace program. Daniel 8:25. Notice how he comes. Daniel writes that his rise is through flattery. Through flattery. Go back and read Genesis 3. And then read the Proverbs, what the book of Proverbs says about flattery. So he manipulates through flattery. He is cunning. He is deceitful. And his heart is full of wickedness. But there's an element that you and I need to pay close attention to with regard to flattery. Because when you deal with individuals who are devoted to self and the idolatry of self, then you appeal to them through what? Through flattery. And so he uses this as a weapon. So he is marked, he is brilliant, he is super intelligent, he is very persuasive, and once again, he is also marked by subtlety and craft, Ezekiel 28:6. And so that his position over other nations is by their own consent. They move into an agreement with him because of he has flattered them. He has seduced them through flattery. He rules over the nations of his federation with absolute authority. And Daniel 11:36 says that he is depicted as doing his own will. Through his authority, he will change laws and customs. And his chief interest is in might and power. He loves the guard. He worships the God of fortresses, according to the book of Daniel. That is his focus. He is militaristic. That is the essence of this being. So he introduces idolatrous worship, and then there is a point at which he sets himself up as God, and he becomes a blasphemer against the God of heaven because of his assumption of deity. And so this one, we know, and you and I know, is energized by Satan. So he receives his authority from the devil, and he is controlled by the pride of the devil. Ezekiel 28:2. If you would go back and listen to the last show, I taught about the king of Tyre, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Read about the, listen to the message on the king of Tyre, which was an introduction to this study. Everything is coming together in the plan of God, the last of what will the federation of Gentile world power. You may not see it all yet, but notice what's going on. Notice what these kingdoms are doing. They're some of these kings are placing their people under horrific bondage by saying, we're not going to have fuel oil. You're not going to be able to have wheat. And Russia says that you're not going to be able to buy fuel oil from us unless you use the ruble. The ruble is backed by gold now. The Chinese yuan is backed by gold. And so they have separated themselves off from the U.S. corporation. They have separated themselves. Russia prepared extensively to be cut off from the West through sanctions, and this is why they stored up certain armaments, food, fuel oil, etc., to be ready for this event. You and I need to prepare. If we have the space to repair, and we do, then please prepare. Take care of your families. So this person is the head of Satan's lawless system. Just think about all the shootings of late, and think about the targets: schools, churches, okay, and a large event. Think about what happened in Las Vegas. They said there was one shooter, but in a video you see through different windows, you see two shooters, and there are others. The echoes and the sound devices in that place that was there, you could tell that there are different types of weapons going off. And if you know the sound of a rifle, semi-automatic, automatic, a handgun, you could tell. And so, you know, these events are going on to do what? They want to destroy the First and Second Amendments. It is imperative to bring this corporation down, this corporate entity down that we call the United States. So his claim to power and to deity is proved by signs wrought through satanic power. Now, in the Bible, you will learn about the Holy Trinity beginning in Genesis 1, verse 1. Elohim, the I-M suffix denotes plurality of being. And then, so we have the Holy Trinity, and then we learn about the unholy Trinity. There will be a death of an unholy being in the book of Revelation, and he will mimic the resurrection of Christ. Listen, I'm going to talk more about AI as artificial intelligence in the next show, because I want to show you about the merging of reality as we know it with AI in order to manipulate and to deceive the saints. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Be prayerful, be praiseful, and God bless you.